Chapter 1. 1994, An Agreed Fiction. On 27th April 1994, South Africans of all shapes, sizes and complexions gathered in long snaking queues in cities, towns, nooks and crannies to vote in the country's first non-racial elections. The miracle marked the death of apartheid and the birth of freedom. Most of the people who had been denied the vote made one small cross for Mandela and one giant cross for humankind. Many people who hadn't been denied the vote previously were just cross. However, the miracle was based on a falsehood, or at least a negotiated truth. And it was indeed miraculous that after refusing to accept that black people were equals and often not acknowledging that black people were people, white South Africans agreed to compromise and share power. The ANC won with 62.6% of the vote, large enough for it to be declared a landslide victory and giving the Liberation Party a conclusive mandate to govern, but falling short of the two-thirds majority required to unilaterally change the constitution. The new National Assembly's first act was to elect Nelson Mandela as its first citizen, making him South Africa's first black leader and completing the prisoner-to-president fairy tale. In the glow of democracy and rainbow nationhood, the ANC shelved its more radical goals, such as nationalization and land expropriation, preached reconciliation and unity, and courted international investment. The National Party, NP, won a respectable 20.4% of the vote, making it eligible for a post of deputy president in the government of national unity. This went to the outgoing president, F.W. de Klerk. The NP also won the Western Cape, and these victories were enough to save face and give the party a future in the new order. Perhaps more importantly, the Inkatha Freedom Party, IFP, also emerged with some dignity. To put the miracle into context, it's important to remember that in the early 1990s, a civil war was brewing in KwaZulu-Natal between the IFP and the ANC. IFP leader Mangosuthu Buthelezi threatened to boycott the poll, and as 27th April drew nearer, the province seemed to be on the brink of exploding into catastrophic violence. Buthelezi threw the IFP's hat into the election ring at the last minute. In fact, voting papers had already been printed, forcing officials to add IFP stickers to 18 million ballots. The party's participation meant the dream of democracy could be realized. It won in KwaZulu-Natal, and Buthelezi was appointed Minister of Home Affairs in Mandela's cabinet. Everyone got a slice of the electoral pie. The result was perfect. A little too perfect, says Professor Stephen Friedman, a leading political scientist who at the time headed the Information Analysis Department of the Independent Electoral Commission, IEC. Do I have a smoking gun? No. But do I have loads of pretty incontrovertible circumstantial evidence? Yes, says Friedman. A few days after the election, the Adjudication Department asked Friedman's team to analyze about 130 complaints by parties against each other. The National Party, ANC, and IFP were accusing each other of all sorts of problems, and then 2 or 3 days later, all these accusations, which go into pages and pages, are withdrawn. Suddenly, their outrage has been appeased without their complaints ever being looked at. Friedman says a lot of the results were absurd, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal. For example, by any credible population estimate, in some voting stations you had 800% of the adult population voting. The whole thing was dodgy. The Information Analysis Department presented its findings to senior IEC officials and pointed out huge discrepancies that didn't add up. Friedman recalls a commissioner saying high voter numbers at a particular polling station were due to population movements. Someone responded, "Are you telling me that there were more population movements on this one day than in Europe in 3 centuries? Come on, someone would have noticed 800,000 people on the march." Senior people in the IEC nodded and appeared to take the analysts seriously. But afterwards, when Friedman spoke to the person who chaired the meeting about an error in the presentation, he was met with a blank stare. "He looked absolutely uninterested," Friedman recalls. He also remembers that senior IEC officials all had offices on the same floor and heads of departments went there to see them. However, when the vote count reached its peak, the heads of department were not allowed onto the executive floor. Friedman was told it was because the political heavies, The ANC's Cyril Ramaphosa, the NP's Rolf Meyer, and a senior IFP official were there, and the conversation was confidential. Friedman says there was only one credible explanation for the mounting circumstantial evidence. The result was a negotiated compromise. I actually don't have a problem with it, though, because it took the country forward, he adds. Before voting day, Friedman wrote a paper on what would constitute a free and fair election and concluded there was one major criterion, whether the losers accepted the results. It's a legitimacy issue. If the losers accept the results, then does it matter if five votes go astray here or there? Besides, he argues, it was impossible to produce an accurate result under the circumstances. The IEC had been cobbled together just a few months before voting day. With little experience and limited resources, it had to establish itself and organize the election. In fact, it would have been a real miracle if the IEC had pulled together a flawless poll. Some rural areas had virtually no infrastructure and were inaccessible. There was no voters' roll. Officials had to guess how many voters would turn up, and as a result, there were often not enough election materials. In academic circles, says Friedman, the line was that the result looked like it was written by Arend Leipart, a political scientist who peddles consociationalism, a theory that states that groups must share power for political and social stability. From a technical point of view, the election was shambolic. From a political perspective, it was a triumph, he says, because if the country had gone the purest route, conflict would have been inevitable. The problem was not that everyone knew what the real result was but decided to suppress it and announce another result which would make everyone happy. It was that no one knew what the real result was and that there was no way of ever finding out what it was, says Friedman. And so it was agreed that the key parties would get what they wanted so that no one would have an interest in demanding that the IEC establish an accurate result. In my view, it was not a lie, but a negotiated truth or an agreed fiction. The upside of the bargain was that it ensured the country transitioned from apartheid to freedom without massive bloodshed.